The final case to be heard this morning is number 2014-0490, Innkeeper Ministries versus the Tax Commissioner. The appellant is the Tax Commissioner in this case, Mr. Ebersole.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'd like to reserve 1 minute of rebuttal time. Now, in this appeal, the Board of Tax Appeals unreasonably and unlawfully held that the private and personal and permanent residence of Jan and Robert Hartenstein is entitled to exemption as property used exclusively for charitable purposes. The Hartenstein's country home, situated on 71 acres in Preble County, is used in the ordinary fashion for the daily living activities of the Hartensteins and the personally invited guests of their own choosing, as occurs in millions of houses across the state each and every day. This is not a charitable use. And moreover, it's not an exclusively charitable use. Well, and that's reflected on the record.
There's a large amount of acreage. There's more than one building, right?
That's correct. There are three structures on the property. There's a 7-bedroom home, a 4-bedroom home, and a chapel for individualized worship. And so in addition to the residential use not being charitable, the evidentiary record does not reflect any sort of exclusive charitable use. For the years at issue, we don't know who's staying at the property, how many people are staying at the property, and there's certainly no reflection that they have any sort of need that's satisfied by staying at the property. So this is not property used exclusively for charitable purposes, and we would respectfully request that this court reverse the decision and order of the Board of Tax Appeals below, as it runs contrary to perhaps the most well-established rule of Ohio real property tax exemption law. And that is that purely residential property used in the ordinary fashion in the absence of charitable activity does not qualify for exemption. The reason for that is that purely residential use does not provide the benefit to the general public that can justify the loss of tax revenue that accompanies tax exemption.
Remember, I guess it was my understanding of the facts that the operators may live in a portion of this facility, but not the entire facility.
Sure. So Robert and Jan Hartenstein and at times various family members lived in the inn, which is a 7-bedroom structure I mentioned, and then the personally invited guests of their own choosing stay either in that structure or in another 4-bedroom structure. And the remainder of the property is used for various recreational activities. There's a walking path, basketball court, hot tub. There's various amenities that are purely recreational and private in nature. And so the point I was getting to with the lack of a benefit to the general public runs contrary to this court's well-established strict construction principle to construe tax exemption statutes against the claimed exemption as they run in derogation of rights of all non-exempt taxpayers. And that rule could not be more poignant than in this case, where we have purely residential property that comprises 70% of the real property tax base in Ohio. This would introduce, finding exemption here would introduce a new and disproportionate burden on the non-exempt taxpayers.
Was any consideration given to doing a split of those buildings or those portions of buildings that are permanent residences from those that perhaps are not?
Just to clarify, your question is as to the permanent versus the temporary residential use? Is that?
Well, was any consideration given to doing a split listing?
Well, certainly if there were the showing of any portion of the property used exclusively for charitable purposes, then that portion but not the entire property would be exempt pursuant to the split listing statute. But the commissioner's well-founded position is that none of the property is used exclusively for charitable purposes, and the board's decision should be reversed in full, and all of the property should be found taxable.
And from what you're saying here, the commissioner's position is that all of the property is being used as a permanent personal residence.
That's right. So there's the daily living on all the property, and then also the there's 71 acres here, so that's quite a bit. To the extent that any of the property is not used for ordinary daily living, it's used for nothing at all, which is not an exempt purpose, particularly in light of the fact that it's not in any way connected to any exempt purpose, right? So we have the residential use that defeats exemption for the whole property.
The BTA found that Innkeeper Ministries is a charitable institution. Is a part of your argument that it's not a charitable institution?
That's right. It certainly is not a charitable institution, and this court has repeatedly held that institutions that exist to benefit itself rather than the general public or a subclass of the general public with a particularized need are not using property charitably, and they're not charitable institutions, but instead just private organizations. And I'm referring to the Olmsted Falls Board of Education versus Tracy case, where this court addressed a German-American fraternal organization called Donnerschwaben that existed to benefit itself, its members, rather than the general public or a subclass of the general public with a particularized need. And likewise, perhaps more on point, is the Church of God Northern Ohio versus Levin case, where this court compared a church congregation to fraternal organizations for that reason, that they exist to benefit themselves. And that's not a charitable activity. They're not a charitable institution. Again, in the case Western Reserve versus Wilkins case, a sorority existed, an organization existed to provide housing to sorority members. It's not a charitable activity. So Innkeeper is not a charitable institution here because it exists to provide residential housing in private use to its members and their personally invited guests, just as in those cases.
Well, the BTA found that it was a charitable institution. So did the BTA go wrong on what the facts are in this case, or is it a misapplication of the law to the facts?
Well, they certainly misapplied not only the definition, the longstanding definition of charity and Planned Parenthood, but they further misapplied the charitable statutes at issue, the one that they raised, 5709.121. So they erred. Their basis for finding that Innkeeper Ministries is a charitable institution is a misunderstanding, a misapplication of the law as it pertains to the definition of charity and as it pertains to the standard for exclusive charitable use under 0.121. So I'll start with the definition of charity under Planned Parenthood. That requires, again, charitable goods or services provided without regard for ability to pay to either mankind in general or those with a particularized need. And that's a subclass of the general public. Now, there's been no assertion whatsoever, it's been expressly disavowed, that there's a benefit to mankind in general. The assertion has been that there is a benefit to this subclass of the general public with a particularized need, but that's simply lacking in the record. The BTA lost its way in finding that there was charity in the absence of any sort of benefit to those with a particularized need or mankind in general. Now, there's...
Part of your argument is that there's a lack of evidentiary support for the BTA's findings.
Right. In fact, the record reflects that it was not charitable. The appellee has not identified what this particularized need is served there, but there's no, again, as I mentioned at the outset, no showing of who stays there, how frequently they stay there for the years at issue. We don't know how many people are staying there whatsoever, and we don't know that they have any need. There's been this assertion that counseling services are provided there, but what the record reflects is that they're no more than conversations among friends or acquaintances. There's no showing that the people there have a need for counseling. There's no showing that there's any mental health professionals on the property. The record reflects that Robert and Jan Hartenstein are not qualified to provide counseling services. The only credential is a class certificate from an 8-day class. And so, and again, as I mentioned, there's no showing as to how the quantity of these alleged counseling services, which are not that, even occur there. So the counseling services can't be the basis for charity. The housing provided there is certainly not a basis for charity. There's the idea of a particularized need from shelter is conceptually, you know, lacking at best. It's a basic condition of human life, so it's not a particularized need. And more fundamentally, perhaps, is that this court time and again has held that affordable housing provided below cost to those in need is not charitable activities, not only in 0.12 cases, but also in cases addressing 5709.121, namely Case Western Reserve versus Wilkins. And there's been no showing.
But I read the facts here as being something in the nature of with practicing the Sabbath and almost something in the nature of a church retreat, but here the owner doesn't appear to be a church. I mean, that activity is sometimes exempt, isn't it? I mean, providing a retreat, a place where people can communicate and relax in a particular kind of environment.
Right. So there is a church camp exemption under 570907, but as you mentioned, it applies only to churches. And also, that exemption does not apply where there's a permanent residence, as we have here. And furthermore, the record is devoid of a showing that sort of church camp activities would happen here. Remember, the people staying here are the personally invited guests of the Hartensteins. It's not that any sort of class of persons, let alone a class of persons with need, are staying there. If you want to stay at Innkeeper Ministries, what you do is you call up the Hartensteins and you talk with Jan Hartenstein, who's the reservation boss. And it's entirely up to her subjective choosing who stays there. It's not a class of persons. It's entirely subjective, as would occur in millions of homes in your home or in my home or any other private residence. So it's not a class of persons at all that's being staying there. The only objective rule is that the non-Christians cannot stay there. This isn't any sort of charitable activity whatsoever. Now, if we reach the So that's what I mean when I say that the Board of Tax Appeals erred in finding that there was charitable activity, and derivatively in finding that the Innkeeper is a charitable institution. It is not, in the absence of charity. But if we look at the statutes that the Board applied, and by the way, it should have applied 5709.12 because ownership and use coincide in this case, but if you look at the statute that they did apply, 5709.121, they further erred in failing to apply a strict construction standard to the exclusive charitable use requirement, right? So that statute provides exemption for property made available under the direction and control of a charitable institution for use in furtherance of or incidental to charitable purposes and without a view to profit. But it's not just any de minimis use in furtherance of or incidental to charitable purposes. It's a substantial use in furtherance of or incidental to charitable purposes. And the board clearly...
Well, but that's not what the statute says, right? The statute just says in furtherance of or incidental to.
Right. It doesn't say any de minimis. That's right. It doesn't. But that's effectively what the board held in finding that in the absence of charitable activity, it was somehow exclusively charitable. And certainly it wasn't, not under that statute.
Well, but 121A2 is a statute that says if we have a charitable institution, this constitutes exclusive charitable use.
Right.
It's in furtherance of or incidental
right.
to.
Right. And at some point, words have meaning, Your Honor. Exclusive cannot be interpreted to mean any de minimis use in furtherance of or incidental to charitable purposes. And that's effectively what the board did here. There's no charitable activity, certainly not.
Well, but the statute is defining exclusive.
Right.
And it's saying it's exclusive charitable use if it's a charitable institution and the use is in furtherance of or incidental to its charitable purposes.
Right. And several times in the tax exemption area, this court has applied the well-settled proposition that tax exemptions are to be strictly construed against exemption. And I've cited in our briefs the instance in the Faith Fellowship Ministries case where a similar exemption statute with the word exclusively was interpreted to mean primary, principal, and essential. Or in the House of the Public Colleges exemption, connected with, a phrase broader than in furtherance of or incidental to, was interpreted to mean reasonably calculated to be used for the necessary objects and purposes. So it's a strict construction standard that must be applied, and the board erred in failing to do that. Now, I would like to touch briefly on much has been made of the Cincinnati Community Kollel versus Testa case, and I would like to explain that that's a very modest case. That's a case that did not grant exemption. It was remanded to the board. It did not redefine charity. It did not apply a different meaning of charity to 0.12 or 0.21, and it didn't do away with the strict construction standard. It's a very modest case, and my appellant has pointed to the statement that there's no primary use test. That case, the Kollel case, says there's no primary use test under 0.121. And that must be placed in context. The notion of primacy in that case, in the Kollel case, is limited to quotient of time that the property is used for a taxable purpose or an exempt purpose vis-a-vis a taxable purpose. And we know that because it cites the Galvin case, which uses primacy in that same manner. But primacy in tax exemption statutes traditionally means something more than just quotient of time. It means primacy and essentiality and utility. We've cited the A. Steele Bailing case of Faith Fellowship Ministries. And so when Kalel cites Galvin, they're citing a case where we had a charitable community arts center that was used in that manner charitably, but more often than not for fundraising activities that were non-charitable. But the overall purpose, the reason for being for that property was the charitable community arts. And the Galvin case used primacy not to describe that, but to describe quotient of time, the amount of time the property, and that's what Kalel means. So Kalel, again, is very modest in saying that there's no primary use test because it's referring only to time. It's not referring to the purpose for the property. And here we have the purpose for the property being the residential use by the innkeeper and the personally invited guest, not only the overall purpose, but in all time. So for those reasons, and those explained in our brief, we would respectfully request that this court reverse the decision in order of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Ebersole. Mr. Bennett.
Jay Bennett on behalf of Innkeeper Ministries. May it please the court, Your Honor, we respectfully request this court to affirm the BTA's decision in order granting the exemption based upon four important aspects of this case. First, the standard of review and burden of proof. Second, the preeminence of the statutory standards of 5709.12 and 5709.121. Third, the court's holding in Cincinnati Community, Kalel versus Testa, which we view as the seminal case in tax exemption. And fourth, the specific and factual findings and conclusions of law contained in the BTA's decision and order. First, as to the standard of review, as set forth in the state's briefing, is erroneous. Treatment of the standard of review, the burden never shifts from the taxpayer to the commissioner. The tax commissioner's decision to deny the exemption is presumed to be valid, and prior to the adjudication by the BTA, the taxpayer's burden is to show or to establish a clear right to relief, despite the strict construction, as mentioned by my opponent, of the law against the tax exemption. However, after the BTA makes its decision, then the burden of proof shifts to the commissioner. Under 5717.04, then the state must show for reversal the decision to be unlawful or unreasonable. That burden is a substantial burden, Your Honor, in this case, for several reasons. First, the BTA is the trial court of this process, hearing evidence and making findings of fact and conclusions of law. Second, the BTA is given wide discretion under Growth Partnership of Ashtabula versus Testa, wide discretion in the case law to determine the weight of the evidence and the credibility of the witnesses. Third, and in the instant case, Mr. Hartenstein, of innkeepers, was the only witness to testify. Nobody testified on behalf of the state. There was no substantive documentary evidence submitted by the state. All the evidence was basically Mr. Hartenstein's testimony, which, if I recall correctly, was about 6 hours in length. The BTA's decision order sets forth in some detail the factual grounds as well as the legal authority for the decision granting the state. The state fails to cite or assert controlling case law. Most of the case law, all the case law that has been cited, has basically, in our view, been superseded by the Kalel case in its old case law. The state has failed to fulfill its burden by showing that the decision was unreasonable or unlawful. With regard to Kalel as authority, 2 years ago this court established the preeminence of the statutory standards 5709.12 and 5709.121A2, granting of tax exemptions for charitable institutions, public institutions, and educational institutions. We consider Kalel to be the authoritative ruling on tax exemption for institutions. The state, or rather the tax commissioner, asserts that any residential use of innkeeper's property disqualifies them from charitable exemption. The state asserts three different standards to support that. They assert that the charitable use must be a, quote, primary use, close quote, or principal use, or that having personnel on site around the clock. In Kalel, this court flatly rejected all three tests in paragraphs 26 through 20 and 28. And basically, I think a key holding of that case, Your Honor, was, and I quote, nothing in the statutory language or case law makes residential use inimical to the finding that such use is in furtherance of Kalel's educational purposes. Kalel was a closer case than this case, Your Honor, because basically it was three apartment houses that had no other use other than residential use, and this court basically indicated that it was in furtherance of that particular educational purpose. The BTA in the same applied the same statutory standard to find, and on page 5 of its order, or rather decision in order, I quote, as established through the evidence and testimony presented, we find that innkeeper uses the subject property in furtherance of or incidental to its charitable purpose and not with a view to profit. Innkeeper has demonstrated that the use of the property is related to its stated mission. The state also asserts that the activities of the innkeeper are not charitable. And in asserting that, they use the particularized need test, a standard not found in tax-exempt law and nor applicable to tax-exempt law. The Planned Parenthood definition of charity basically, in part, is to advance and benefit mankind in general or those in need of advancement and benefit in particular. The state erroneously asserts that the inn failed to show that the guest had a particularized need for the charitable services. There is no such standard in tax-exempt law. Particularized need, when you run it through Lexis, basically it comes up that it is used as a prerequisite to obtaining privileged public documents from elected officials or a secret grand jury testimony for a criminal defendant under Criminal Rule 6E. That is where particularized need is found as far as the research that I've done. The word particular in the second prong of the Planned Parenthood definition is used to describe the type of people that are receiving the charity, not the needs of the people receiving the charity. So the premise that this is not a charitable use is unsupported by that particular test because it doesn't apply.
Let me ask you, in some of the charitable use cases, there's a standard of making property available without regard to race, creed, or ability to pay. My sense is that there might be a problem under that standard with the creed aspect. Could you address that?
Yes. Well, I would say that the when we get to the second prong that I mentioned, in need of advancement and benefit in particular, the first prong was benefit mankind in general. Second prong, it basically zeroes in, so to speak, on those people in, obviously, in particular, those particular people who need that type of charity, as far as that's concerned. I don't find that to be basically discriminatory or anything of that sort. It's just that is the need, and these people are more well-equipped to address that need than other people would be in a generalized charity. With regard to the board's decision and order, the finding of facts and conclusion of law contained in the board's decision and order fulfill all the elements of the charitable tax exemption. The board, on page 3 of its decision and order, recites the factual findings of of that particular decision, as it lists the explanation of the ministry, its mission, and its charitable core activities. On page 4, the board explains the factual nature of and legal authority for deeming innkeeper charitable innkeeper as a charitable institution, as well as applying 5709-121A2, verifying innkeeper's exclusive charitable use, as we went over when my opponent was here. On page 5, the board concludes, and it's just one little paragraph, I'm going to read it. As established through evidence and testimony presented, we find that innkeeper uses the subject property in furtherance of and an incidental to charitable purposes and not with view to the profit. Basically, it's one of those situations where this is the trial court of this particular proceeding, and it's going to take quite a showing of some that it's unlawful or unreasonable in order to overturn it. I think the state is asking this court to ignore the board's findings and of fact and conclusions of law contained in its decision and order based upon the tests and standards that are inapplicable or superseded by this. So there's no principal use, there's no primary use, there's no round-the-clock use, there's no particularized need. Basically, the preeminence of Kalel is the fact that if the institution is, in fact, an educational, public, or charitable institution, then the exclusive use, as you've said before, is defined by in furtherance thereof or incidental thereto. I think the state is asking this court to overturn Kalel, and in essence, Kalel was decided 2 years ago to make new law. We would respectfully request that the court affirm the board's findings. I believe that the findings of fact and conclusions of law that were set forth are basically supported, and I don't think that in any way, shape, or form you can categorize this as a purely residential use, and since residential use is not inimical to the exemption, we would ask that the court affirm the BTA's declaration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Mr. Ebersole, 2 seconds, but take a minute.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'd just like to make two or three very short points, the first of which is that the burden is not shifted in this case due to the board's decision. The facts are not in dispute. What we're talking about here are the board's unreasonable and unlawful legal conclusions regarding charity and charitable institution status of innkeeper, and those should be reversed as unreasonable and unlawful. Secondly, my colleague on the other side made much of the notion of particularized need. The Planned Parenthood specifically addresses benefits to mankind in general or those in need of advancement and benefit in particular. And you really hit the nail on the head in alluding to this court's definition in Vic Memorial Hospital, which the Planned Parenthood case cites Vic Memorial Hospital for that proposition that and Vic Memorial Hospital, of course, is referring to providing a benefit to those in need without regard to race, creed, or ability to pay. In essence, it's a subclass of the general public with a need.
Has the commissioner taken that position earlier in this case that the creed aspect defeats the charitable nature of the use or not?
I apologize if I'm being unclear. I'm just making the proposition that it's either a benefit to the general public or a subclass of the general public with a particularized need. It's not just the subjective choosing of Jan Hartenstein. That's the limited proposition. And that's what the Planned Parenthood case means, is a subclass of the general public with a particularized need. And this court has repeatedly stated in majority decisions adopting the White Cross Hospital concurring opinion that the justification for tax exemption is a benefit to the general public, most recently in First Baptist Church of Milford.
Your time has expired. Thank you, Mr. Ebersole. Yep. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Office of the Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.